The shepherds will not, but God will. Turn to Ezekiel. This one chapter is a prophecy in itself, spoken by God, and I believe it's an overview of something over 2,000 years of Israel's history, most of which, of course, is now past, so we can look back and see what did happen. But it's a prophecy that shows that man will fail, not may fail, but man will fail, but God will do what God said he was going to do. It begins with a condemnation of the shepherds of Israel, Ezekiel 34, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock. Now, I would guess from my knowledge of history, and even current history, that this has been an age-long problem, even going back into the time of the priests and the Levites in Israel, that they were more concerned with their own livelihood and possibly making a lot of money from the sheep rather than feeding the sheep. So God is making a blanket condemnation here, which we'll see fits not only our fathers in ages past, but apparently still fits our people today. The shepherds do not feed the flock, and that's what he's talking to, or that's who he's talking to here. Turn to the New Testament before we go on to show you Jesus' command in John 21. This is one of Christ's last commandments to one of the disciples before his arrest and crucifixion. John 21, beginning in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, I think there's a message in there. Jesus' concern was not only that his disciples and other Christians would love him, but that his sheep would get fed. That was the command to this man that he knew already, as Peter said, Lord, thou knowest. Turn to Psalm 74. For those who might be new to this, I want to read enough so you understand who was to be fed. In other words, who the sheep of God are. Psalm 74, verses 1 and 2. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelled. Now, think about that for a moment. Not only is Israel called the sheep of God's pasture here, they are called God's congregation, the rod of God's inheritance, they are called God's redeemed, and they're called Mount Zion, all in the space of two verses of Scripture. The point here, of course, is I want you to understand they are the sheep spoken of in the Scripture. Psalm 79, verse 13, So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Then turn to Jeremiah 23 in verse 1, which, by the way, is another condemnation of the ministers. But the identification is here, Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. So always and forever in the Scripture, Israel is God's sheep. So when you read the term sheep, you'll know that you're talking about Israel. And remember the story that Christ told, they're sheep even if they're lost. They're simply called lost sheep, but they're still sheep. Let's go back to Ezekiel 34 and read on after he begins this condemnation of the pastors. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Now, that's a condemnation for them of living well. Ye eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. But notice that strange phrase in there. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Now, that may not necessarily mean that there's a physical murder committed against these people, but I wonder if any of you have had any experience of being in a church where the minister was not preaching according to the Bible, and you had been studying the Bible, and you read a lot of the Scripture and heard other preaching, and you learned a lot of things that were true from the Scripture, but that minister was not preaching them. And then you went to him and said, well, Pastor, such and so is in the Bible, and such and so in the Bible. And the first thing that happened was that you antagonized him, and then after a while he was silent towards you, and if you kept it up, after a while he'll actually drive you out of the church. What is he doing? He is driving out those who are the fed sheep, the people who have been fed from the Word, and there are many ministers in America today, which I've found from stories I've been told by other Christians, that when they really try to get down to the Word of God with the preacher, he'll drive them out of the congregation. He doesn't want fed sheep in there because they contradict, of course, what he's been preaching. So this is an accusation here by God to these ministers. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Now turn to Isaiah 1. I want to read a few other passages here to see if there's further identification of these people. Isaiah 1, beginning in verse 5. Speaking to the house of Israel, why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion, remember Israel was called Zion, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. So here it is Israel who is sick, is diseased, has putrefying sores, and I believe this is not talking necessarily of physical disorders. This is spiritual sickness. And Israel was, as we know from the context here, worshipping idols, they were blaspheming God, and they were disobeying His laws. Turn to the 50th chapter of Jeremiah, another prophet speaking to Israel. In verse 6, my people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Verse 17, Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. So Israel is the one who was sick, I believe, here in Ezekiel 34. Israel was broken. Israel was driven away. Israel was lost. And these prophets that God is against had refused to bind up the Israel which was broken, lost, driven away, and in fact had actually refused to seek them out. Instead, they drove them away. Now, I ask you another question about modern ministers. Have you talked to any fundamentalist or denominational minister who teaches that the Jews are Israel, and you go with him with abundant evidence that we are Israel, that we are the people who were driven away and set aside and driven through all the countries, and then, of course, later redeemed by Jesus Christ? And what will he do? He'll drive you away rather than turn around and seek Israel. In fact, in many cases, He'll even refuse to read the very books you deliver to him, and you say, I know where lost Israel is. And he won't read them, he won't listen to the tapes, he won't do anything to find lost Israel. This is what God is accusing these shepherds of doing. Here is Israel lost, broken, diseased. The ministers will not bind them up. They won't even seek them. They won't even try to find them or heal them. And he says in verse 4 at the end, instead, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Our people are ruled by false priests and prophets. Now, some of you know that they teach doctrines which, in effect, threaten you with burning in hell forever and ever unless you go through certain specific rituals which they preach. They don't want to know anything about Israel. They don't want to know anything about the lost sheep. All they want to know is, have you done what they said you should do? And if you haven't, you're going to go to hell and burn forever and ever. And what happens? They rule over you. Now, some of you may think that only the Roman Catholic Church does that, but there are quite a few individual denominations, and I found out some years ago that Herbert W. Armstrong, who has a church called the Worldwide Church of God, who actually teaches the truth about hell. He admits the Bible does not teach that individuals are cast in hell to burn forever and ever. Then he turns right around and tells the members of his church that if they leave his church, or if they teach against the church, they will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. So he reserves hell, burning hell of the Baptists, only for those who leave the Worldwide Church of God. What has he done? He's used false doctrine in order to rule over them with force and with cruelty. Now, the force and cruelty is manifested not by physical whippings, but primarily by taking away their wealth and plundering them of their livelihood. And he's done that with God only knows how many thousands of people. So they have a method of ruling over you as individuals, you individual Israel people, but at the same time, they will not seek out and find and heal the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They want nothing to do with them. Okay, he goes on. And they were scattered, meaning Israel, because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And we've discussed this before, how our people Israel are helpless before the pagan and the heathen when we do not have God's word. We are helpless. We become victims of almost anyone when we do not know this word. And our safety and our freedom, our liberty, is dependent on our knowing the Word of God and obeying it as best we can in this human life. Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. And that is true. Literally, none seeks for the true lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I'll repeat again, we will be kicked out of most churches if we try to get the minister to look for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, who does God blame? Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. God is not talking to the Israel people per se. He's talking to these shepherds that he's condemning in here. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. Now, you keep that in mind as we remember the rest of this, because we have read many places in the Scripture where God is against the enemies of Israel. God would be an adversary to the adversaries of Israel, and here God is not talking about the pagan and the heathen. He's talking about Israelites who are shepherds over the rest of Israel. And God says, behold, I am against you. Now, he mentioned they had become meat of every beast of the field, and that no one had searched them out, and so on. Now, this happened in ancient times. We know from the prophecies as they were fulfilled, But what about America today? Look at what is happening to our race. The corruption, drugs, liquor, tobacco, immorality, disease, we're brainwashed, all sorts of evil coming upon us. And how many of you know more than one or two ministers who speak out for our race and say, we have to turn and save Saxon Israel? In fact, many of them join in with our enemies and condemn us for all the evils of the world. And they protect our enemies. Let me repeat that. The shepherds in Israel protect our enemies as our enemies work to destroy us. And of course, one of the greatest enemies that Christian Israel has are those people who call themselves Jews. And they control our news media and almost every source of information that we have while they destroy our nation and the ministers protect them. No wonder God says of the shepherds in Israel that he's against them for what they are doing. Now, on a national basis, and I'm not saying this just because I'm a radio minister, but on a national basis, right at the moment, I can't think of more ministers than I have fingers on one hand that I have ever heard take a strong stand for Saxon Israel. I don't know five of them. Almost every one of them teaches nonsense, false doctrine, they teach protection of our enemies, and so on. So whatever it was they were doing back in ancient times that brought this condemnation of God, they're doing the same thing today. Verse 10, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and, listen to this, cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Now, he just got through saying they weren't feeding the flock, didn't he? Well, in a few verses down here, we're going to read what they're feeding them. And they are feeding them something. Now, you might call it trash or all sorts of other names, but they are forcing something down the throats of our people. God says he's going to cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore. So he's going to end their robbery and plunder. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth that they may not be meat for them. Well, thank God for that. God says he will deliver Israel from their mouth. And what is it that holds us in their control? It's their mouth. It's their words. The things they speak that bring us low and destroy us. Now, I'm not going to go into that in great detail here, but if some of the new folks here haven't heard my two sermons, I believe, titled, God Will Deliver America from the Clergy, I suggest that you listen to them. Because I use one man as an example, Oral Roberts, showing his modus operandi, how he does not teach the Word of God, but he teaches a ritual which divests the people of their money and transfers it to himself. And if you've heard him or listened to him to any length of time, you know that he spends almost all of his time getting you into a mental and emotional state where he can then take your money from you. And in that series of sermons, I used a book which had been written about Oral Roberts showing how he brought people to Tulsa, to his place there, several thousand of them almost every weekend, and runs them through 2 days of what can only be called brainwashing. You don't hear this publicly, but it's done in Tulsa. Very effective, hard brainwashing, and he gets checks from them, oftentimes at $100,000 to $150,000 from individual people after 2 days of this ritual that he runs them through in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He said he's going to deliver. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Well, thank God for that promise that since the ministers will not do it, God will. Turn over to the New Testament. And we'll read a few verses of Scripture which verify that in the New Testament. Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6, as Jesus gave instruction to his disciples. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew 15 and verse 24, when the Canaanite woman had come to ask him to heal her daughter, Jesus answered in verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then when she believed that, then he healed her daughter. He said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 18 and verse 11, this is Jesus speaking, For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And then he tells about the lost sheep. And I've explained this before, that the word lost in the New Testament, where it is used here, and in relation to Israel, in there 13 times, it always comes from the same Greek word, apolumi, which means put away and punished. The put away and punished sheep of the house of Israel. And you can look that up in Strong's Concordance. Turn to Luke 19. Luke 19, beginning in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much, or because, as he also is a son of Abraham. In other words, salvation came to Zacchaeus' house because Zacchaeus was an Israelite, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, that which was put away and punished. Do you think there's a connection between what God said he would do in searching out, seeking out his people and delivering them, and what Jesus said he had come to do? Obviously there is. Jesus came to do that which God had promised to Israel. Let's go back to Ezekiel 34. He said in verse 12, As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. And we know that Jesus did that. That's what Jesus came to, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Now you realize you must be reading of the kingdom because of the way this is put. This has never happened in the past. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. So God will do what he said his shepherds would not do. They would not seek and search out Israel and bind them up, bind up broken Israel, but God said that he would do. So, that should lessen your concern about those shepherds a little, should it not? I still have so many people write me or call me about how we've got to get to these preachers and convince them we are Israel. One man wrote how he was attending Jack Hyle's church in Ohio. He has about 10,000 or so people in his congregation. It's one of the largest churches in America, and apparently is on television. And he said, Pastor Emery, if we could just get to Jack Hyle's, he could reach thousands of people. Well, what was he doing? Depending on the ministers to save Israel, and here is a whole chapter, a prophecy, that the shepherds in Israel will not do it anyway, that God himself will bring again lost Israel. So relax a little. And don't worry so much about that 99% of the shepherds in modern Israel being like the one spoken of here in Ezekiel 34. They are. God knew it. He wrote it down. It won't change the outcome. Now, he said here, I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Now, the fat and the strong would have to be those that were feeding themselves on the sheep, would it not? because the sheep weren't being fed, but they were feeding themselves, so God would destroy them. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. And then he's speaking here, I believe, to the ministers again. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Isn't that something? That's what many of the ministers apparently have done all down through the ages. They have taken God's word, and they have trampled it in the mud, and they've made mud out of it, and then they feed that to the people. That's what he's saying here. You have trodden this down, and then you feed my people. As for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. How many times have you, or have you heard someone say, well, I've attended such and so a church for 15 years, or 30 years, or 40 years, and I could never really make any sense out of the Bible. Well, the reason you couldn't make any sense out of it, because you were taking too much mud with it, too much dirt, too much which was trampled in the mud, and then fed to you. And of course, it wasn't clear, it wasn't water, it was befouled by their tramping it underfoot. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah 12, verse 10. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. And if you want to turn later to Isaiah 5:5, you'll find that the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. So he's saying, many pastors have destroyed my house of Israel. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Now, I don't know what you would call America and Christendom today if you would not call it a desolate, howling wilderness. There is so little of God's truth preached to our people that they sit here and live among this corruption and crime and blasphemy, and they don't raise a hand or say a word against it. They have been so neutralized by the muddy waters that they have been fed that they simply do not act like Christians anymore. Some Christian ministers will come along and they'll even make the remark that, well, you can't tell a Christian from the heathen. Well, why can't you? Because the Christians have not been fed the good food of God's word. And who didn't feed it to them? Well, oftentimes it's the same minister who's accusing them of not being good Christians. And this is what he says here. These pastors have destroyed the house of Israel. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. Now, many of our people are recognizing that our land is literally on the verge of being made desolate. Who does God blame for that condition in Israel? The pastors who destroyed his sheep. The pastors who would not preach the word of God. Turn over to Hebrews 10 in the New Testament again. Verse 28 and 29. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, what would you call, or what would you say a minister has done, who, when you go to him about the covenants that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that Jesus sealed with his own blood, and he tells you, oh, it doesn't make any difference what those covenants are, it doesn't make any difference who Israel is, all that's required is if you accept Jesus, and you won't go to hell when you die. What has he done? He has trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant. Jesus came to shed his blood to seal those covenants to the house of Israel. And this is made very plain throughout the New Testament. And yet these men will have nothing to do with that. In fact, they call us names and they drive us off when we preach about the covenant. Most ministers couldn't tell you even what the covenants are. Ask them what the covenants were that Jesus came to confirm. They don't know what you're talking about. They're not interested. In fact, they have another gospel that they're preaching, and when you come along and try to bring them back to the Bible, they'll drive you out of their churches. What are they doing? I believe they're despising the blood of the covenant. They're trampling it underfoot. No wonder Ezekiel said the same thing, that they trample the word of God underfoot and they feed you these muddy waters, and that's all you get to eat. No wonder Israel is sick. Israel is despised. Israel is brought low. Ezekiel 34 again. Verse 19. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet. They eat this trodden underfoot blood of the covenant. And they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Well, I think here again the fat cattle must be those ministers who are feeding themselves of the flock, and the lean cattle must be Israel who's not fed. No wonder they're lean. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they will no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Now this must be, of course, Jesus Christ is the David spoken of here. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. All danger will be gone. Kingdom. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And my hill is another term used by God for my holy hill, Mount Zion. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. Now, you've read this before, and we've read this before, and I've commented, of course, on how the so-called money power or money system robs and plunders our people. But did you notice in Ezekiel 34, God is not condemning some outside evil, wicked force. He's condemning the shepherds in Israel. I visited Wycliffe Devenard some 10 or 12 years ago before he passed away in Houston, Texas. And Mr. Devenard had written, I think, about 5 and possibly 6 books, several of them 200 and 300 pages, exposing the money system and how it robs our people with usury. He also put out for close to 20 years a monthly newsletter-type publication. He had been doing this for close to 30 years when I visited him in his home with 2 other ministers. And he told us that we were the first ministers he had ever met who exposed the bankers and the money system. 30 years he had been writing on the bankers and the money system. He had never met one minister until he met the 3 of us who preached against the money power. You see, God doesn't blame the money power. Who's he blaming here? The shepherds who have not preached the truth to Israel. They have not told Israel the truth so that they can get right with God and get back out from under this evil power that has taken them captive. Mr. Bernard also told me that he had invited Billy James Hargis down there one time to preach. Some of you know who he is. He's a supposedly outspoken anti-communist. And Mr. Bernard invited him down there and paid his expenses for coming, rented a hall and paid the $600 for the hall, specifically telling Billy James Hargis he wanted him to expose the money system. And Hargis agreed. He came down there and spoke for an hour and 15 minutes and never mentioned it. Never mentioned it. And most of them are the same way. Anyway, God says, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them, and they shall no more be a prey to the heathen. You see, we have to be right with God to break this power of the heathen over us. Neither shall the beast of the land devour them, and they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Now that word plant, and I won't take time to read all these references, I'll give them to you. The word plant there, where he's going to raise up a plant of renown, is the same Hebrew word that is translated planting. And you should read it in Isaiah 60, verse 14, verse 21 and 22, where Israel was to be the branch of my planting, and also in Isaiah 61 and verse 3. So God would make Israel a pleasant plant, plant them in the ground of the earth for his kingdom. And of course, that neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. The shame of the heathen is their idols and their false gods. And Israel will not be involved in that. Verse 30, thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Isn't that something? God Almighty says, the shepherds will not do that. I will. And he preaches right on through into the kingdom. Let's close in the New Testament. Turn over to Hebrews 13 and read a description of Jesus and Israel in Hebrews and also in 1 Peter. Hebrews 13, as this letter is closed, verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. God will deliver Israel back as his sheep who have been driven out of his pasture, and God, through Christ Jesus, has already accomplished that deliverance. How many of you here now are concerned about all of these ministers who don't go around gathering Israel and preaching the truth? You shouldn't be. They're not going to have a very big part in it anyway, because the shepherd who will deliver Israel is Jesus Christ. That is the only shepherd who will ever accomplish any deliverance of our people. Praise God for it. He'll bring lost Israel back right into the kingdom. Let's stand. Our Father, we thank you for these words that thou hast written down for us so many centuries ago, that we might know that you have prophesied all things as they came to pass. It helps us to understand your power, your sovereignty, that thou knowest all things, and along with it, these great and wonderful promises of thy mercy upon thy people. Father, we thank you for the great promise that in spite of us, in spite of our failing, in spite of the failing of the shepherds in Israel, that the great shepherd Jesus Christ will bring us back to himself in the kingdom. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.